You know, one of my favorite verses is this John 14:12. I guess some of you have it mesmerized. I like to look at it and make sure I say it right, but pretty well got it memorized myself. But it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do maybe." Also. So the works that Jesus Christ did. Now, what kind of works did he do? Well, he healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. Wow. And we can do that? Oh, yeah. We can do that. The works that he did. Let's get back here and now read it some more here. The works that I do, shall he do also. And he is a collective noun. Women can do this too. And I've seen lots of wonderful, strong, believing women in my day. And greater works than what? And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What a terrific thing that is. What a wonderful thing that is. And that's why I sometimes get so disheartened when I see Christians do some pre-Christian activities in order to proclaim they're Christians. And I get really sort of concerned about that and confused about it. Look at 2 Timothy 3:5. 2 Timothy. I think I wrote this down right. Hope so. Wrote it down on a napkin. Back there in the back. They're my notes. I got other notes too. Okay. What did I say? 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:5. Is that the right one? It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, when we get born again of God's Spirit, we receive the gift of Holy Spirit, power from on high. That gives us the ability to operate all 9 manifestations of Holy Spirit. But by doing some preemptive activity, it limits that in many Christian lives because they don't understand they've got the God-given ability to operate all 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit because they get the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Acts 18, look at verse 24. It says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, concerned about God and the things of God, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." He knew only the baptism of John. That sounds a bit familiar. There seem to be people that, you know, speak for the Lord and so forth, but they only emphasize the baptism of John. That baptism of John was a pre-Christian activity. It was practiced before it was possible to be a Christian. You know, it was practiced leading up to, it was a preliminary to Jesus Christ coming and accomplishing all the many things he had to do. You know, fulfilled the law and the prophets. Oh my gosh. You know, he always did the Father's will. He did those things that pleased the Father. He walked perfectly. He laid down his life for us. He was crucified, put in the grave, raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven. Wow. And then Christianity began. Christianity did not begin with John the Baptist. Christianity began on the day of Pentecost. Ask every Christian, when did Christianity begin? Day of Pentecost. Why don't you do what they did on the day of Pentecost? Gee, I don't know. I went out with the apostles. Who said the apostles went out? Maybe they went out to dinner, but they didn't leave. You know, we still have apostles today. You know, how about that? Well, all right, so only the baptism of John, and we'll read some more about this because Priscilla and Aquila sort of gets him off the hook a little bit there. But Acts chapter 1, please. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. This is going to be, it's sort of fun, but it's sort of disheartening that people would, you know, turn the page back or take a step back from the accomplished realities of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring in a practice that predated the accomplishments of Jesus Christ and make that the center, a center for an expression of Christianity. It's very disheartening to me. Acts chapter 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, beloved of God, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, the ascension. And this is talking about the Gospel of Luke. After that, he, through Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, after his crucifixion, by many infallible proofs. He ate with them. He said, feel me, you know, this is flesh. You know, spirit doesn't have flesh and bones like I got. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart. Maybe I skipped over a little bit. I don't want to miss anything in here. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Remember, John said the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus Christ brought the kingdom of God to earth by his accomplishments. And we're part of the kingdom of God by his accomplishments. So again, do you want to magnify and emphasize something before the kingdom of God came to earth again, something that when it was at hand but not yet accomplished? I don't know. And I don't. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Water baptism has nothing to do with the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water. Okay, there it is. Only knowing the baptism of John, the baptism of John is John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Something greater was on the cusp. You know, something greater was coming up soon. John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with water and with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Not many days hence. Wow. They had something to look forward to. A greater came in, and the lesser went out. So why take a step back? Why take a step back? And maybe that's what we can tell our brothers and sisters, if they really are brothers and sisters, who promote the water baptism gig. You know, I mean, I saw this thing about this group. They were so ecstatic about how many they had baptized recently. And how many of those received the Holy Spirit? How many of those were baptized with Holy Spirit? You know, I'm not trying to be detrimental toward them, but I'm trying to say, wait, wake up. Don't stop before you get there. Look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We'll take a trip through the Gospels here a little bit. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Prepare, the Lord's coming. Not stop before he gets here. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And now do we confess our sins? No, we confess the Savior from sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. I think that doesn't sound too appealing to me, but he seemed to like it. Okay. And preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latch of whose shoe I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He, Jesus Christ. Do you want to be baptized of Jesus Christ with Holy Spirit, or do you want to be baptized with water by somebody that is stuck in the past and hasn't gotten up to the level of the greatness of God's Word? I don't know. Yes. Well, I know the answer to that. Okay, look at Matthew 3. Keep your finger here or marker here, because we're coming back to Mark. But Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When you get born again of God's Spirit, you are a citizen of heaven. You are part of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that terrific?
Yes.
Man, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord, make his path straight. And this is talking about John the Baptist. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, that's water, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Who came after him?
Jesus Christ.
So why not get baptized by Jesus Christ? It's a spirit, and it's a spiritual thing. It's when you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you are baptized in everything that that name represents, and you're baptized with Holy Spirit. You receive power from on high. Whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and with fire. really, really something. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner, but will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Sounds like a parable we recently looked at. Then cometh Jesus unto Galilee, to Jordan, unto John, to be baptized of him. You know, when Jesus Christ died, we died with him, right?
Right.
When he arose, we arose with him. Because of our identification with him and because of his substitution for us. When he was baptized, we were what? Baptized with him. Do we need to be baptized again then?
No.
I don't know. I don't quite think so. Yeah, with Holy Spirit. Yeah. But John forbade him, saying, now this is interesting. Jesus came to be baptized of John, but John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? John believed what he was saying, that Jesus Christ would baptize with Holy Spirit. John wanted to be baptized with Holy Spirit. He didn't get to, because he was martyred before he was able to. It's heartbreaking. But isn't that something? He wanted to be baptized with Holy Spirit. That's really something. Look at verse 15. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Was it a dove?
No,
it was like a dove. And lighting upon him, he saw the Spirit of God descending and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven announcing, this is my beloved Son in whom, well, I am well pleased. Because he was doing what God had told him to do, to go get baptized to John. Yeah. And, you know, terrific thing. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now go back to Mark chapter 1. We'll pick this up in verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. We just read that. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The voice from heaven said two things. The voice from heaven told Jesus Christ, God, you know, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the voice from heaven said to those that were there at the baptism, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How about that? Pretty neat. Pretty neat. It's wonderful. Look at the Gospel of John, please. Chapter 1. John chapter 1. Isn't this neat? Interesting? John chapter 1. I'm not trying to be critical of people, but, you know, we should look at what the Scripture says. We should do what the Word says. Kevin, go turn the fan on over there, would you? Just the button on the left, hit it once, and the fan should start. Okay, John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that's speaking of Jesus Christ, the promise of the Father. Jesus Christ was made, you know, he was God's word, God's communication. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. He was before John in God's foreknowledge. And here, John is acknowledging that this is Jesus Christ, this is the Christ, this is the one you need to listen to, this is the one that's going to be the Savior. You know, this is the one. And I can't even untie his shoes. You know. Let's see. This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me in God's foreknowledge. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The only begotten Son has declared him. Declared him. Look at verse 29. 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That's pretty clear who Jesus Christ is, what he was going to do. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, again in God's foreknowledge. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. John was baptizing with water so that Jesus Christ could be made manifest to Israel. What happened when he was baptized? The heavens opened, the Spirit came down like a dove, looked like a dove, wasn't a dove, but it was the Spirit. And you know, and the voice from heaven said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How about that? And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. He was baptizing with water so that Jesus Christ could be made manifest to Israel. Again, it's a pre-Christian activity. A pre-Christian activity. Okay, well. And John also bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Spirit. And this is what John said, just to be clear, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Wow. Wow. Isn't that something?
Yes.
That is terrific. Okay, go back to Luke now. We haven't looked at Luke. Let's take a look at Luke. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. And as the people were in expectation, and verse 15, and as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with what?
Water.
But one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. All four Gospels pretty well testify that we should take a look at the one that came after John. And some people did. And we did. For goodness sake. Go back to Acts 18. Let's see if I can help Apollos back here. Acts 18. You know, the reason Jesus Christ could do the works that he did was because that Spirit came down and he'd always did the Father's will. That Spirit was an abode with him, and he had Spirit on the inside. And therefore, he could utilize that spiritual power in conjunction with his walk with God in order to bring about signs, miracles, and wonders, healings, you know, raising the dead, all the other things that he did, water to wine, you know, terrific stuff. Now, Acts 18:24 again. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, being concerned about God and the things of God, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Priscilla and Aquila had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. There is another baptism besides just the baptism of John. Doesn't say what instruction they gave him, but what a wonderful Christian couple. They'd been with Paul. You know, they'd been with Paul, and they had learned with him, and Paul, you know, was very interested in the Holy Spirit and power from on high and nine manifestations and speaking in tongues as one of the nine and, you know, all those things. And so certainly them being with Paul, I would think in their expounding unto him the way of God more perfectly, brought up this thing about baptism with Holy Spirit, receiving power from on high. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren rode exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. That's a good thing for people to understand, that he was the Christ. He was the anointed one, anointed by God, and sent on a mission to be the Savior for mankind. What a wonderful thing. Verse 1 of chapter 19, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" Have only the baptism of John. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit." Oh my gosh. And isn't that the case with so many of our wonderful brothers and sisters? They haven't even, that's how I was in church. The only thing I knew about Holy Spirit was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that, you know, we know that, you know, came in the 4th century and not before. So anyway, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Water. Water. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, as it says other places. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. In this particular case, he laid his hands on them. In other cases, while he yet spake, you know, people manifested, or that was with Peter, I guess. While Peter was speaking, they manifested speaking in tongues. So if we want to get locked into a pre-Christian activity that was in effect when the kingdom of God was at hand, but not here yet, and was something that was set up so that John could say, "This is the Christ." Fine. The Christ has already come. Nobody has to get baptized to find out who the Christ is anymore. So what, men and brethren, what should we do? Well, we should, and are, we have already been baptized with Holy Spirit, which means we're born again of God's Spirit. We've received power from on high. We've received the gift of Holy Spirit. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1. Well, I'm running out of time here, but I think I've pretty well made the point. I'll just stop here. If you want to read, I was going to read Acts 1, 4 to 8, and then 9 through 11. If you want to look at that. It says, in there it says, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And it also again said, well, I guess I better look at it. All right, Acts chapter 1. Getting a little close on time here. I know you got to go to chicken dinner on Sunday or whatever it is. All right, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, this is Jesus Christ with the apostles whom he had chosen, and he was in his resurrected body, hanging out. By many infallible proofs, he was shown to be alive. Commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. Jesus Christ was telling them that. This is what Jesus Christ told them in his resurrected body. A point that should be adhered to. When they therefore were come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive what?
Power.
Dunamis. Power. After that, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, which includes Rutgersville, Earliesville, Crozet. Where do you live? Gordonsville. All the Bills, you know, and even other countries, not just our local area. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. This is the last thing he said before he ascended. He didn't say, John truly baptized with water, so make sure all of you get baptized and baptize with water everybody else that comes along. No. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And while they beheld steadfastly, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, not another one, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Wow. So he's coming back. Aren't we glad? Aren't we glad we don't have to take a step back? We can take a step forward. We took a step forward because we were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We were baptized with Holy Spirit. And you know that Acts 19, if I had more time, I'd read you about how in 2 years and 3 months all Asia Minor heard the word of the Lord. But I don't have time for that. Trying to get you out of here in a good time. So again, how thankful we are, Heavenly Father, for the greatness of your word, for the privilege it is to have this greater baptism, the baptism with Holy Spirit that gives us power from on high, that makes it possible for us to operate all 9 manifestations of Holy Spirit, that makes it possible for us to do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater works, and that our godliness has power with it the power of the Holy Spirit, God in Christ in us. And we're so thankful for your grace, mercy, and love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.